Well, talking about controversial issues, as I mentioned, we had the recent trial and the conclusion of the Raed Saleh case. We have on the line Dawood Abdullah. What's been your response from the Middle East Monitor?
On Sheikh Raed Saleh's case?
Yes.
Well, we think that the ruling by the judges from the Birmingham Tribunal did not look at the evidences provided critically from the government side. And it seemed to adopt the Home Secretary's position without questioning most of her arguments. Now, she claimed that Sheikh Raed Saleh had engaged in unacceptable behavior, but it was not proven in the court what exactly was this unacceptable behavior. In some of the papers, there were references to a khutbah which he gave, a sermon in Jerusalem, and a dinner in which he was the victim of an attack by Israeli thugs. He was injured and had to be taken to hospital. Now, that evidence was produced by video to the tribunal, and they paid no attention. They dismissed it altogether. So, while on the one hand, the Home Office claims that the Palestine issue has no relationship to her decision, all the charges brought against him were based on what he was supposed to have said in Palestine. So this is a contradiction to begin with. But when we look at the statements themselves, they couldn't find anything, because if you remember, prior to his visit to the UK, there were claims that he was a racist, he was anti-Semitic, that his speeches were of this nature. Now, the court could not find anything provided by the Home Office to confirm that he was a racist or an anti-Semite. So that is one. And in that sense, we welcome the ruling of the judges. But to uphold the deportation order, we maintain that this is a violation of his right of free speech. The essence of the whole case, we believe, is that it was the decision was geared to stop him from speaking, not just in public, not just in the mosque or wherever, but in parliament. He was due to speak in parliament to address elected members of the House. And this is what the lobby, which provided the information and requested the Home Office, this is what they did not want to happen. Now, what they argued, you know, saying that his speeches were inflammatory, it was all based on speculation. The Home Office was saying it could be interpreted as inflammatory. You see, when we look at it carefully, what is he speaking about? He's speaking about home demolitions, about attacks on Masjid al-Aqsa and the Islamic sanctities. He's speaking about the expansion of settlements. All of this has been condemned by the United Nations. So what he's saying is no different from what the world community is saying. And on that basis, we think it was very high-handed on the part of the Home Secretary and partisan, moreover, to take such a decision, when in fact his views are consistent with the views of the international community.
Well, if I can put it to you, we've just been hearing about Theresa May's intervention in the FOSIS Joint Conference of the Civil Service, cancelling that. And now in this case, claims being made by the Home Secretary, which, according to yourself, were not very much questioned by the judge, and the deportation order was upheld. Are you going to appeal? Are you concerned about what this says about broader relations within the Muslim community? Or do you think that certain interests and certain lobby groups now do have the upper hand?
First of all, he will appeal. But I think it's very disheartening and that, you know, the Home Secretary could have taken such a decision against forces. Now, while this government is prepared to meet with suspected war criminals and to change the law to speak to them, It doesn't want to speak to its own citizens, young students from the universities. They are not war suspects. They simply hold a view which may be contrary to the government. And only on that basis, they refuse to speak to them. But they have the temerity to change the law, you see, to allow war suspects, war criminals, to enter the country and to speak to them. And that's the contradiction. This is what baffles the British public and the electorate, the people who elected the likes of Theresa May and Michael Gove.
And who is actually supporting the appeal right now? Because it could be very easy to feel isolated and demoralised.
Oh, no, he's well supported, first of all, by those who invited him to the UK and by his own movement, his people in Palestine. We are speaking of a national figure. We are not speaking, you know, simply of the leader of the Islamic movement in 1948 territories. He is a national Palestinian figure, indeed a world figure. We remember what happened when there was the report that he was assassinated on the Mavi Marmara last year. How, you know, cities across the world began to demonstrate. So he's well supported and he's by no means demoralized.
So in terms of anything that people watching this program might want to get involved in, what would be your advice?
Well, to call on our government to uphold the principles, to respect its obligations under international treaty. The European Convention guarantees freedom of speech, freedom of association. Now, the ruling by the judges in Birmingham paid scant, you know, acknowledgement of this fact. This is a Home Secretary who is bent, you see, on disassociating Britain from the European Convention of Human Rights on various levels. If those who listen today should read the first page of the Telegraph, she is determined to do this. You see that we should have no obligation under the European Convention of Human Rights. Several articles under the convention are threatened by the policies of the government, not just for Sheikh Raed Salah, but as we can see with our own students at home.
Well, we have the Convention on Human Rights at the moment, and this judgment still has been passed. Are you concerned that the separation between the judiciary and the political system is actually now going to be eroded? Because from what you're saying, her statements were accepted unchallenged by the judge in this case.
It is. It's a gradual process of erosion that is taking place. Let us go back to the issue of universal jurisdiction. Prior to this, you know, that the coming to office of this government, an ordinary citizen could apply for a warrant to get the arrest of a war criminal.
Obviously, now that's all changed now.
The Director of Public Prosecutions. This is the politicization of the system.
Well, thank you for your contribution and your analysis, Dr. Daoud Abdullah. If I can just give the final few seconds to our studio guest here from FOSIS. It can be a time to feel demoralised, but you're still remaining optimistic and upbeat, it seems.
Yeah, you have to remain optimistic and upbeat. I think if you take his point of the Barbara Ahmed campaign, he's been in prison for up to now 8 years, coming up to then, and we're still campaigning for him. And so I think as a final word for all your viewers, I would urge everyone to go out and to sign the petition online at letsgetjustice.com. Sign the petition to get a debate in Parliament to review his case. And we have to be optimistic that, inshallah, the best result will happen if that debate is had.
Well, there's a deadline. The deadline is 10th of November, and it's very important that 100,000 people sign up. I believe already over 60,000 people have signed the e-petition. And this is simply to say that Barbara Ahmed should be allowed a trial. This is not insisting, taking a position about what Barbara Ahmed is supposed to have done or not done. Simply the right to a fair trial. Here's a young man who's been in prison for over 7 years and has not had his day in court. So it seems that FOSIS representative wants to make that case. Perhaps that itself highlights what FOSIS stands for in terms of freedom of expression and democratic expression too. Do join us same time next week. And don't forget, you can watch our programme on YouTube and also tweet us. Thank you very much.